We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Shem Nicham Yaakov B'Pirchos Eliyo. We are in Edios, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud. HaPoreit Sela Shel Maser Sheni B'Yushalayim. Here's someone who came to Yushalayim. He brought his Sela, his very large silver coin, and he wants small change. He wants the smaller denominations so that he's able to spend this money and buy food. He wants copper coins now. So if he comes now to exchange the Sela, the silver, larger silver coin, for the smaller copper coins, Beishamai Omim B'chol HaSela Mos. Beishamai is the lenient opinion here, and it allows you to exchange all of the entire Sela for copper coins. So you take a Sela, let's say a person wants the Prutos, which is the smallest coin. So we said 192 Prutos in one dinar and four dinar in a Sela. So that's a lot of copper coins. And the possibility is they may not end up spending all of that money, and to save it for the next time he comes to Yushalayim, maybe the copper coins will be ruined. So here you may end up losing out. Master Shani may end up losing out. Nonetheless, Beishamai says, no, you're able to exchange the entire thing. Beisilomrim, Beshekel, Kesef uveshekel maos. Beis Hillel says you shouldn't exchange the entire thing. You should exchange half. Maximum of half, which means you take a shekel, a half a sela worth, and that you exchange for copper coins, but you're going to get silver coins for the other half of the sela, because we don't want you to exchange for copper coins. As we said, they may get ruined over time if you end up not using all of them. Now, there's a reason why Beis Shammai says b'chol haselamos, you should spend all of the money. It's not just a heter. Some of Farshim explain that he's telling that you have to spend all of the sela for smaller coins, because if you keep going back to the money changer to exchange more silver coins or copper coins, you have to pay him a fee each and every time. So you end up paying him a fee. So Master Sheni ends up losing out because of that. So therefore, we want you to do it once. Make one money exchange, and that's the end. And Basil says, no, I'm afraid if you have too many copper coins, you don't end up spending them. So now Master Sheni money is going to be lost, is going to be ruined. Then the Mishnah says, Hadanim lifnei Chachamim Omrim Bishlosha Dinarim Kesef Uvedinar Mos. Who are those who judge in front of the Chachamim? This is a reference to the great rabbis of Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoma, Hanan HaMitzri, and Hanan ben Chachinoi. These were Talmidim who sat in front of their Rebbeim in the Beis Din, and they followed Hillel as well in this Beis Hillel's opinion, that a person should not exchange the entire, not convert the entire sela into copper coins, but instead of, as Beis Hillel says, shekel kesef shekel mos, where it's half and half, half into silver coins, half into copper coins, they're more strict. They say, omrim bishlosha dinarim kesef v'dinamos, which means that you should only take, if you have one sela is four dinar. So only one dinar worth, one quarter of that should be converted to copper. The rest, three quarters, should remain silver coins. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bishlosha Dinarim Kesef Uvrius Kesef Uvrius Mos. Rabbi Akiva says, he's even more strict. He says, even that last dinar, that fourth dinar, even that you should not exchange. So three certainly stay silver. You exchange that sela for silver coins. And that one last dinar, even that last dinar, not like the Chachamim we just said, could be all copper. No, only a quarter of that should be copper, which means only 1/16th of that original sela, silver coin, should be converted to copper coins. And some say that's not what Rabbi Akiva means. He means that out of that last coin, that last dinar, out of the four dinar to start with, you half should be half and half. Half silver and half copper. And in that way, so it's not 1/16th of a sela, but rather it's going to be 1/8th of a sela that is converted to copper. Then Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Arba'a Asperei Chesef. Four Asperei Chesef. What does that mean? Corresponding to that fourth dinar. So three dinarim, we said, remain silver. Out of that fourth one, so four, there should be four asperei kesef. Obviously, what asperei kesef are, the oval silver coins, and the rest can be copper. So we're not exactly sure what this means. Some say that a dinar equals five asperim, and therefore Rabbi Tarfon is saying is that you should only convert 1/5 of a dinar worth, which is the last dinar. So three of the, remember, we start out with a sela, which is four dinarim. So three dinarim remains silver. What about that last dinar? Out of that last dinar, only 1/5 of it should be copper, and that therefore 1/20th of a sela should be copper. And some say an asfar is a ma'a, which is a sixth of a dinar, and therefore Rabbi Tarfon is saying that a third of a dinar, not a fifth of a dinar, but a third of a dinar should be copper. So, and therefore wouldn't have to be that strict. So instead of 1/20th, it's 1/12th. Shammai Omer and his Shammai disagreeing with the Beis Shammai was the first opinion in the Mishnah. That seemed to be the most lenient of all. You can exchange the entire amount for copper, the entire sela. And Shammai Omer, not at all. Yanichena bachanus v'yochal kenegda. You should not convert the sela at all into copper coins, because you may end up using them for chulin purposes, for non-master sheni purpose. Rather, what should you do? You come into the store, you come into the shop, you want to buy something. Okay, so you leave the sela with the chenvani, and he'll hold on to that sela, and you will eat food corresponding to that sela each and every time. You come to the store, you have that credit based on that one sela, and you end up using up that whole sela. So you end up, according to this, according to Shammai, you end up not exchanging, converting any of the money at all. Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Aleph is going to deal with what we call Tumas Midras. The Torah says in Parshas Mitzora, Vayikra Tezvah, this is speaking about a zav. Zav is a high level of tumah, an av hatumah, which can make things tumah, not only when he touches them or maybe moves them, but even if he leans on something that or sits on something, that itself is going to be tumah. That's what we call mishkav u'moshav. Mishkav, moshav, merkav, something he rides upon as well, and he can make them, by doing so, he can make them an av hatumah, which means he's an av hatumah himself, a very high level of tumah, and the things that not only he touches, but even things that he rides on, even if it's not touching it itself, that or leans on, that is going to become tamei as well, a high level of tamei, the same tamei that he is. And the chachamim, this is derived from the pasuk in, as we said in Parshas Mitzora, kol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav ha-zav yitma, which means anything in a mishkav is like a mattress that he lies upon becomes tamei and becomes the same level as we said of tamei. Usually, when you're an avat tamei, the things that you touch become a lower level of tamei, like a rishon l'tamei, and a rishon l'tamei makes things into a sheni l'tamei. We'll learn this when we learn mas seder taros. But here, the zav, this high level of avat tamei, by leaning or lying or sitting on something, he makes that mattress as tummy as he is. He is an avatama, that is an avatama as well. Now, only a kli that is fit for lying, for leaning, sitting on, is mitami tumas medrash. It has this high level of tumah. If not, so then it will be mitami like a regular kli, and maybe he's an avatum, he touches it, it will become a rishon tumah. But leaning on it, lying on it, if it's not fit for sitting, lying, leaning, etc., so then it won't become tumah medrash, it won't be the same level of tumah as the zav himself. So this is true for Anida as well. So the Mishnah here says, Kisei shel kala shenitlu chipuyav. So now we want to talk about, we're speaking about a kisei, a chair. A chair obviously is fit for sitting. But his is a very fancy chair. This is a kisei shel kala, a bridal chair. That very fancy chair. It had these spindles in the back. According to some, it had like carvings, wood carvings, stone carvings in the back to make it beautiful. So here, what happened? Nitzlu chipuyav. They were removed. So these decorative parts of the chair were removed from the chair. So now the question is, does this still have tumas, potentially have tumas midras, where if Azav and Ida sat on it, it would become a high level of this high level of tumas, the same ava tumas status that they have? Or no, do we say no, this is no longer fit for sitting because a part of the chair was removed? So Beis Shammai mitamid. Beis Shammai says the chair remains potentially susceptible to tumas midras, this trampling, leaning type of tuma, even though a kala normally wouldn't sit on it. It still is a chair. It's still roi lishima for the yeshiva for regular people, and therefore it is mikabel tumas midras. Uveis Hillel mitarin. They say no, since it's not fit for a kala to sit on, it's as if it's broken. It's now the shame kisei that it had is batel, is nullified, and therefore it's not tamei medrash anymore. Now, another example where Shammai disagrees with Beis Shammai. Shammai Omer, with his academy, with his Talmidim, Shammai Omer, af malbein shel kisei tamei. He's the most strict of all. He says the malbein is the frame of the chair. So this is, it's like a square, and it's attached to the four legs of the chair. So what is he saying? He says, not only if the chipuyim, those decorative parts, the spindles are removed, but even if the malbein itself Rather, even if the malbein remains, only the frame of the chair where you sit on remains, and everything else is removed. The arm is removed, the back of the chair is missing, and all you have is malbein. That's what it means. Af malbein shel kisei tameh. Just the malbein itself is still susceptible to tumah because people can sit on it. And not only that, this would be true. Let's say someone's making a chair. So a carpenter's making a chair. As he's making the chair, it becomes royal kabel tumah, susceptible to tumah as a kli, kalim on the kabel tumah. Once you put that frame on, even if there's no back, there's no armis or anything, once that frame is on for you to sit on, so that makes, even though you have a little more to do, according to Shammai, that chair is already mekabel tumah. And then the same thing the opposite way. If everything was removed and malbein is still there, it's still considered a kisei, even though this started out as a kisei shel kala. Then the Mishnah says, kisei shekva'o ba'areva. Here you have a chair, so the chair obviously was susceptible to tumah, but now you affixed it to an areva, a kneading trough. And now you're not planning to sit on it. Kneading trough is not tamei medrash. People don't sit on a kneading trough. They knead with it. It is a kli. It can be mekabel tumah, but not tumas medrash. Not the high level of tumah that we're speaking of, where it has the same status as the person who sits on it or leans on it, etc. So here you had a chair, and now you attach it to that. What are you using it for? Okay, so you're going to put some of the food, some of the dough, let's say, on that chair. Then now that it's attached to it. So what's the halacha here? Do we say the chair loses its status and it's no longer mekabel tumah like a chair, tumas medrash? It's only mekabel tumah like an areva. So that's the machlokas here. Shammai mitamin. Shammai says, since the chair you can still sit on it the way it was before, so the fact that you fixed it to in the kneading trough doesn't mean that it can't be used for sitting. It's still mekabel tumah. Basil says, no, since now it's attached, you don't plan on sitting on it anymore. It's like a shelf. You're putting some of the whatever you're using for kneading the dough, or maybe some of the kalim you're using. So then it's no batel. It loses its status as a chair, and now it's secondary to the areva, to the kneading trough. So therefore, it's not tamei medrus. It's tamei whatever the kneading trough is. Shammai Omer af he'asuiba. So Shammai here once again is coming to be machmir, and he says that even if you have a chair, that as long as it's fit for sitting, even if you made it l'chatchila not to sit on, but as part of the kneading trough itself, nonetheless it's susceptible to tumas medrus, because at the end of the day, potentially you can sit on it. Is it a chair? So according to Shammai, a chair doesn't need to be made specifically for sitting. If it's a chair and it's fit for sitting, it doesn't matter that you didn't designate it for sitting. Others explain that it's the way to understand it is like this, because potentially people could then remove it and use it for sitting afterwards. The same way we had a chair and we affixed it to the kneading trough, you could have a chair starting out attached to the kneading trough and then removed to use as a chair. And therefore, from the very beginning, I said, that's what he means. Shamaimar af he'asui ba, even if it was made affixed to the areva to begin with, it's mekabel tumas midras.